time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday, the 16th of September 2017. Island Life is Waiheke Radio's weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues. The show's brought to you with the support of the Humble Pie Village Butcher. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onuroa. On Saturday, the 16th of September, John Armistead talked to Republican Peter Hamilton and he talked to Mike Gray from Waiheke United Football Club.
Good morning, this is Island Life and today is the 16th of September. It's a Saturday, it's 1 week away from the day that you'll get to cast your ballot and steer the ship of democracy in whichever direction it's going to take. So what have we got on today's show? Well, hopefully all this will come off. It's fly by the seat of the pants territory here. We should be talking to somebody from the Festival of Football who is coming in. He's the club captain and he'll be coming down to tell us about the event that they've got this weekend. I am going to be talking to a Mr. Hamilton who wants to talk to you about who will be the head of state after Queen Elizabeth II passes on. We got the football guy in a bit earlier than that. And hopefully I'm going to talk to somebody at the Rugby League Club who've got their prize giving for all the juniors tomorrow and a special event coming up. So that's what we've got on today's show. Actually, maybe I should mention this now. I actually saw somebody, because I like to have a little bit of a celebrity scene on Waiheke, but this is too special to let wait until, you know, you might have stuff to do. But I was on the ferry the other day. I think this was Wednesday. It was about 9 o'clock in the morning, 9:15. And I was just coming off the ferry and I was going through the ferry building. And lo and behold, who should walk past me but none other than Curly off Coronation Street. Well, I was beside myself, so, yeah. Welcome to New Zealand, Curly. You're on Waiheke Radio, and have a wonderful morning.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
I've got Peter Hamilton in the studio with me, and he sent a notice into the station because he has concerns about what's going to happen with New Zealand, and it states as you know, a part of a monarchy after the death of Queen Elizabeth II. So I've got him in the studio. I'd like to talk about it. So welcome to the studio, Peter, and it's good to have you down. I'll just make sure you're loud enough. Just
right.
Yeah, I've got you.
Good.
So, yeah, basically, how did you come to this field?
For many years I worked in Wellington in the New Zealand government. I was in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade, so posted overseas in many different places. And countries, of course, are always very interested in New Zealand, and they know our supposed clean, green image. And when it gets to the question of our constitutional structure, they're always very puzzled by the fact that New Zealand claims to be an independent country, and yet for the most important office we have a foreigner, if you want to call Queen Elizabeth a foreigner. Technically, she is. And most people find that a bit strange. And the more I thought about it, I realised that New Zealand has been involved in a constitutional journey since 1840. And we've never quite finished that journey because we've left several things undone. Over the years, we have taken more and more responsibility back into New Zealand with our own eventual self-government. And then with New Zealand taking more and more powers, we've become less a colony and more independent. But we haven't made that final step of having our own head of state. And when I looked around and saw the sort of people that were taking the role of Governors General in New Zealand, I realised that these people are perfectly capable of actually being our head of state, and that we no longer actually need to defer to another country, in this case, Britain.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, this is a pet subject of mine. You just happen to have sent that message to me. I find it strange that you would have a head of state that's going to put another country before this country. That's the sort of paradox. Well, yeah, that's the paradox. That's what it boils down to, isn't it? You're going to put somebody else's country before yours, and you're the head of state of that second.
That's right. Well, Jim, for those of the listeners who saw Jim Bolger the other night on the Guy and Espener interviews with former prime ministers, he said the current arrangement is no longer fit for purpose. And it struck me when I was ambassador in Germany about 10 years ago, Queen Elizabeth came on a state visit to Germany at the invitation of the German president. And because New Zealand, Australia, Canada are members of the Commonwealth, we were invited to the state function for Queen Elizabeth. And the oddest thing for me was that here was New Zealand's head of state in Germany, but totally unable to represent New Zealand's interests overseas, which is a primary role of a head of state. Mm. Queen Elizabeth can only ever be the representative of the UK when she travels overseas. And we miss out quite considerably by having a Governor General who is naturally viewed overseas as number two rather than number one in the role.
So do you hope that, I mean, what's the position? I mean, you've looked at the, because I've got to tell you, I it passed me by, but what is the position on all of the parties that we've got ahead of the election next week?
Across all political parties, there are people who believe that we should have a New Zealander as our head of state. Obviously, Jim Bolger was very prominent in the National Party. Helen Clark in the Labour Party. Jacinda Ardern is also very much in favour of a New Zealand head of state. There are others like Winston Peters, who is very pro-monarchy. And I think you'll find our members of Parliament are pretty much divided to the extent that they think about it. And this is, for most people, not the most burning issue, as you know, from the current election campaign.
Because it came out of the ballot, didn't it? I think it was about 2011. It was in the ballot. It was Keith Locke. He had the bill there, and they drew it. And National just, as I understand it, I might have this wrong, but it seemed that National just...
Yes.
Block voted against it.
Yes.
It didn't even get past first reading or something.
Most members of Parliament wouldn't, once they're elected, wouldn't see this as a big vote winner, vote catcher. Mm. And the Labour Party some time ago, I think 3 years ago, did put on in its conference a remit to have a referendum on this issue. And I think eventually we will do. Mm. The flag debate, the whole John Key flag debate, was very badly handled, and that's put people off the whole issue, I think. But eventually, when Queen Elizabeth dies, it will become apparent that Prince Charles and Camilla Parker Bowles are not really the sort of head of state that New Zealand wants in this modern day and age. The change, however, is not something we need to be too worried about, because this is not a revolution. It's a gradual transition, and essentially, what the campaign is saying that I belong to is that we should really make the Governor General the head of state in pretty much the same way as he or she is now appointed by a debate or discussion or agreement in Parliament. Mm. We're not in favour of having yet more elections to elect the head of state, as some countries do. And we're not in favour of having an executive head of state, as you do in places like the United States. I know New Zealanders, when they hear the idea of New Zealand becoming a republic, think the last thing we want is a presidential style of government. Well, I agree entirely with that. That's not what we'd want at all. The executive remains with the prime minister and cabinet and the government. The head of state is a non-executive office, representational, but very, very important, both domestically and internationally.
So how can people get in touch with you if they want to get more information from you?
On our website is the Campaign for a New Zealand Head of State. So it's the Republic Republic for New Zealand, newzealandrepublic.org.
Right.
There's information on our website. And we realise this is a slow process. It won't happen immediately. But in our polling recently, in our polling last year, when asked this question, there was a slight majority of New Zealanders in favour of having a New Zealand head of state. Now, whether that's elected or appointed or chosen by Parliament, there's some disagreement, and we'd have to work through those issues. But None of these are very major.
Mm.
The issue about the Maori representation, Maori linked to the crown, is also not such a problem as one might imagine, because, of course, the crown has very little to do with addressing Treaty of Waitangi issues. It's basically the government of the day that has done it. So even Maori, when you ask them, are quite in favour of having a New Zealand head of state. I mean, why couldn't Paul Reeves be our head of state? Or why couldn't Jerry Mataparai be our head of state? The same would be for Dame Sylvia Cartwright or Sachinand. Be perfect and excellent heads of state for New Zealand.
All right. Well, look, thanks for coming up
to
the station. And I'll be sure to mention your website again before the end of the show. And so I would like to chat about this because I agree with you. I think it is the last hurdle. And it's kind of, to me, it's part of the progression of a society, you know, to look within itself rather than others on a pedestal.
Truly independent,
you know? Yeah, fully.
Yeah, its own self-image.
Yeah, so, good luck with
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Yeah,
all
right.
Thank you very much.
Cool, all right. All right, this moment, I'm joined by Mike Gray from Waiheke United. His two boys, Nico and Ihaya. So we're going to have a chat about the Festival of Football next week. You might know this music. It's the theme tune to the World Cup of 86. I don't know. You've heard it before?
Well, I remember the 82 World Cup. I don't know if I remember the 86 theme music.
All right, sorry. I was just putting out, fishing lines for... it's got a football connotation, so... It also makes me think of the hand of God, so I'll just pull that out of there. And tell us, we've got the Fullers Festival of Football next week.
Yes, yeah. John. Well, it's the 30th anniversary of the club. Started in 1987. There's Stu Escom, who I'm actually still playing with in the Masters. He's 63 and he's still turning out. And Jeff Bilby, who's 70, and he played for us this year, believe it or not. They pretty much, there was someone else, but they pretty much started the club 30 years ago. Mm. And it's 30th anniversary, and then I'm a bit of a big ideas man in the club, and I try and make things happen that are kind of exciting. And so I thought, well, a good way to celebrate the 30th anniversary would be to have a big game on the island. So we originally were going to have the Wellington Phoenix come and play Auckland City, and I sponsor the Wellington Phoenix. I also sponsor the Auckland City, and it was all going to happen, and then the new coaches for Phoenix arrived, a few issues with the pitch not being up to standard, and it got pulled. So then we replaced the Phoenix with Eastern Suburbs, so two premiership teams, and then the Eastern Suburbs pulled out on Monday, which sent me scrambling.
No.
And but now we've got Hamilton Wanderers. So Ricky Herbert, who went to the 82 World Cup as a player, and he coached the All Whites to the 2010 World Cup. He's the new coach of the Wanderers. So even just having him on there is pretty cool. So now it's Auckland City, our top New Zealand team versus the Hamilton Wanderers. They finished ninth last year out of 10 in the Premiership. So they'll be looking to do better under him. So that's the main game.
Yeah.
Preceding that, the curtain raiser. Well, actually, we'll start at the bottom. So at 10:30 on Saturday the 23rd, this is on Otangi Sports Park.
Yeah.
It's free entry to everyone. We have an All-Stars game, 7v7. So a sort of a shortened pitch. So we've got some former All-Whites. Lee Stickland, who was an All-White placemakers on the island. He's playing Noel Barclay, who's on the island. He was 3 times New Zealand Player of the Year. We've got Winton Rufa, Oceania Player of the Century coming. And Neil Emblem. A few other ex-All-Whites, and then maybe a couple of media people are coming, and then that's splattered.
Are you bringing over from the media?
Andrew Gordy might be coming from TV3. Sure. Martin Devlin might be playing.
Oh yeah, definitely.
James McConey from Crowd Goes Wild was playing, but he's just pulled out.
Well, what's wrong with him?
Oh, his family thing down south, or maybe a hamstring issue. Okay, who knows? Probably. Maybe it's a twinge.
Yeah.
And we had a it's just some local identities.
Yeah,
some players that, you know, didn't get to shine as much as they wanted, like myself. I'll be playing. And that's really what
position
I get out
are you
of it,
playing?
John. Oh, I'm a striker.
Oh, yeah.
I got 4 goals in 1 game this season, John.
Which
did get noticed
in the paper.
No, not in the paper. I didn't write about it, but it got noticed. Let's just say people were talking about it, John. So then we moved to a curtain raiser at 12:30, which is our senior men's team, Waiheke team sponsored by First National here locally on the island.
Yeah.
And they are playing the Auckland City Academy team,
right,
which is their sort of youth development side. And that's being played for what's called the Inaugural Cup. So in 1987, there was this cup called the Inaugural Cup. I don't even know if it physically exists anymore, but they're going to play for that.
Yeah.
And the main game is at 2:45 kickoff. And we're actually playing for the Steve Sumner Memorial Trophy.
Mm.
So Steve was the captain of the All Whites in the 82 World Cup. He passed away this year from prostate cancer. So we're going to be doing some collecting, gold coin collection for prostate cancer on the day. We've got a raffle thing we're doing to raise money for the club. But I've got Steve Sumner Tory coming up from Christchurch.
Right.
And Noel Barclay, who's the chair of the New Zealand Football Foundation, which is basically a fund that got created after the 2010 World Cup for developing the game. They've funded the trophy, so Noel and Tory will be handing out this trophy to the winning team. Cool. So we've bundled all that in together for this Festival of Football. But on the Friday, this coming week, which is the 22nd,
yeah,
at 3:30, at the sports park, we've got the Auckland City coach, Ramon, and some of the players doing a free coaching clinic.
Oh, cool.
For all the kids on the island.
And they can just rock up to them?
They can just rock up, and that'll go for about 90 minutes, cool, a bit of a signing session, and that'll be fun. But part of the whole thing for us is, you know, when I was a past president, I came to the island 6 years ago from Christchurch after the earthquake, and just... we've really grown the numbers. Mm. We had four senior teams this year. We had more junior teams this year. And some of the junior players I brought with me today just because they're, you know, they're keen to actually see how a radio station works.
Because your son is going to South Korea, is that right?
He's just come back. And we had five boys from the island.
Yeah.
And the under-12s representing New Zealand.
That's awesome.
And the winners' club team. But we were the New Zealand team, and there was 26 teams from around the country, around the world. Santos, a major club in Brazil, was there. They won it.
Palais team, yes. The world's greatest.
That's right. There was Celta Vigo from Spain, Fanaticos from Japan. But the boys, they did the best they'd ever done. They finished third in their pool, almost got through to the finals round. They beat China and drew with Thailand.
Good on you.
So I've got Ehi here. So you went over with Kiwa and Noah,
yes.
Burke Munns,
yes.
Adam Stevens, and Ashley Moutese.
Yeah.
Tell us about your experience of going on a trip to South Korea. There's missiles being fired by the North Koreans. You know, parents are stressed out. And what was it like?
It was just really, really fun. Yeah, and... actually, on the way, on the plane, it was quite a long ride, and I got a bit really, really tired, and yeah.
When was it? When did you do that?
This was August something.
Oh, recently?
Yeah, about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay, wow, cool. Oh, awesome. And you feel like you're a... Yeah, you've got this connection with all of these lads that all went together on there. You'll never forget that. That's incredible. Fantastic.
Yeah, they were. It was so hot. It was like 30 degrees.
Wow.
The heat was just stifling.
Yeah.
And they'd bus to each game, and they'd have two games in a day, and you know, fantastic, and all the meals. But they basically had to live like a professional. Oh, they got told to go to bed, and they had they'd post analysis meetings after the at night.
Oh, that sounds great.
What's happening? And
The bubble.
And then I've got Nico here. So Nico plays in the, is it ninth grade? What team are you playing?
Ninth, yeah.
Yeah. What's the most goals you scored in a game?
10.
10?
Yeah. He's averaging about 6 goals.
Yeah, that's a hat-trick of hat-tricks and one more, isn't it?
It's a hat-trick plus one. It's a triple hat-trick plus one.
Yeah, well done.
You know, it's like Roman numerals. It's an X. Yeah, I'm sure he'll probably win the Golden Boot. Yeah.
Good on you.
But he's my nephew. He plays against his cousin, and his older brother, Kai, is very good.
And he's playing here at Waiheke United.
He plays at Waiheke. He's playing for Western Springs because he goes to school in town.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But all the other boys played for Mangosta, the local team.
Yeah.
And he used to play in that age group.
So do you, when you're playing for your team, do you come up against...
No.
Your brother's team? No, I don't mean the same age level, but, you know, like a representative team.
Yeah, not yet.
Of Waiheke.
But what I've noticed about Nico is because he's playing his two older siblings, they... Yeah, he's just, you know, when you're the small one and that, he's learnt how to just take them on and give them as much as he gets. And so now when I watch him playing, it's like he's playing against these older kids, you know.
Yeah.
And he just goes around these other little kids like they're not there.
Good on you. So you're a winger, are you? Dribbling down the...
Striker.
Oh, striker. Okay, cool.
Of course.
I suppose you would be a
striker. Centre, mid or striker.
Yeah. Cool. Good on you. Well, yeah, well, I suppose we'll write your name down and put it in a hat and hopefully...
Here's the thing, John. Our club is on a bit of a roll where the seniors team has won 6 in a row.
Wow.
I played in the... just to mention, I played in the first year that we won our division and started the role. I didn't play much, to be fair, but I did play. We've got really big aspirations for the club. We actually want to play in the Premiership, which is the National League. I'd like to see us win that. I'd like to see us win the Oceania Club Championship so that we can go to the World Club Championships.
Oh, imagine what that would do for this island.
Yes. Yeah, we've got plans to build a small stadium at the park, maybe 5,000, 6,000-seater stadium. We're at the moment in discussions with several high-prominent players to come and play or coach.
Can you give us a clue?
I can't at the moment, just because of confidentiality. But these are significant. The sort of announcement where the football community in the country will go, what is going on there? What's in the water?
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily the water, John. I think it's the mate. It's this tea that the Argentinians, that they drink. I think it's something
in that. Incredible, isn't it? Yeah. How we've got this amazing football team and we've got this massive Argentine community. It's do you think... I wonder if maybe a Lionel Messi's going to come through Waiheke at some... Imagine that.
Well,
Lionel Messi.
Well, here's the thing. You've got... It's a magical island, right? You know, at the moment, I'm saying the beautiful game on the beautiful island. So anyone who gravitates to this place, I think they're a certain type of person. They're looking for a life that's just a little bit extraordinary, a little bit better than... You know, and they're looking for some magic, right? So I respect anyone who just, you know, met a girl in the cafe the other day. Where are you from? I'm from Holland. I'm from Amsterdam. I'm like, how on earth do you end up here? But anyone who finds this place, I really, really kind of respect, you know. But they're coming for football. And then what was happening is in South America, all the reporters over there, they have lists of all the players that are playing internationally.
Right.
So when a player has to come play for our club, they have to do an international transfer through FIFA. Right, and the paperwork takes it takes 12 weeks, and they can't play until they've been through this process. So these reporters in Buenos Aires and that, they get a list of all the players around the world playing internationally for clubs, and suddenly they go, the most players outside of Argentina playing for a club anywhere in the world is Waiheke United. So then they go, where's Waiheke United? And they drill down and they find that it's not even part of New Zealand. It's this independent sovereign nation, this island principality, a sister principality of Monaco. And look, I am pushing to become the prince of Waiheke.
All right.
John, just so you know, I haven't announced my because it's election time, I am going to run for prince.
You're not allowed to talk about this in an election period.
I can, mate. I'm going to make it a tax haven. Right?
Are you?
We're going to grow marijuana here and sell it. It's going to be a different world.
All right.
So we've got this principality, and they've drilled down and gone, of all the places in the world, this has got the most players.
Yeah.
So now players are coming thinking we're this professional club, wanting to think this is going to be their stepping stone to their future football career, and that's what we will become. And but we've got to bring our junior players through. We've got a couple of the boys that played in the Stags that'll play in the first team next year if they stay on island. But the whole thing is about to create a career pathway. So when I was 10, we went to the 82 World Cup, and so suddenly I wanted to be an all-white, right? Well, I played for Canterbury as a child, but there was just nothing. It just stopped. So with these boys, I didn't want the island to be like a tyranny of distance or a barrier of entry, that because you live on this island, you can't go on to have a football career. So I've brought Phoenix players here and Exel White's here and Winton Roofer here and tried to, invigorate the club that way. But FIFA's just changed the rules. So in 2024, it'll be direct entry into the World Cup for Oceania,
Is that right?
Which is what New Zealand is in.
Yeah.
And we traditionally win Oceania.
It's not fair, though, is it, that they have to play, like, I don't know, Uruguay or whatever, just to get into a... I've always thought that was a travesty.
It makes it pretty hard for us, because at the moment we're playing Argentina. Now, they're not playing well, but...
They're still going to go through.
Well, we'd have to have a great couple of games to win. When we beat Bahrain, they drew nil all in extreme heat. We just hung in there. When they came here, it was windy. It was freezing in Wellington, and the Bahrainians all came out with gloves on, and they couldn't deal with the cold, just like we find it. And we won 1-0 and got through. But beating an Argentinian team's hard. But in there, so when Nico's 16 and Ehi's 18 and Kai's 20, they could all actually represent New Zealand at a World Cup together, because it'll be the first time there's direct entry. They've still got to win Oceania. So as a goal for us, that's my goal. I want to take a player from the island and have them represent the All Whites at the World Cup in 2024.
Cool.
And so, you know, we've got a couple of people that are coming on board with the club who have they have the same sort of vision and same sort of passion, and we just want to take what we've got. The band the supporters fan club band, they sing the song about Waiheke, and it is a feeling. We have this thing going on.
It's magic.
We've just built, Jeff, who, one of the founders, he just built a little stand.
Yeah, I've seen it in the paper. Well, yeah, it looks good.
At the moment, I'm trying to get from AMI Stadium, Christchurch, they're demolishing the stadium, and they want to basically give away all the seats for the cost, you know, to save money rather than have to dump them and pay the dumping fees. They're trying to sort of, for the cost of removal, give them to. So I'm trying to get a couple of thousand of those to bring up to
That's
the
island. That's great. So it's all go. I mean, we're in the eye of the storm, really. This is the is the moment, isn't it?
Yeah. It's the start of a new phase. I think we're in an amateur club, but we're now trying to move to become a professional
and winning
organization.
Stuff. Yes. Win stuff.
Well, we didn't win the division this year. We got second,
but we qualified. Winning. Generally winning.
They lost their last game. 1-0. But they were undefeated. The top team didn't beat us. We were winning with 30 seconds to go. 650 people at the park, and they scored a cracker. If we'd won that game, we might have won it. So it just shows that as we go up, though, even though we've got a great team, there was one team that was better. It's going to get harder at the next level and harder at the next level.
So we've got to crack on, but next week it's...
Yep, so it's Saturday the 23rd, on the Friday, from 3:30 you've got the free coaching clinic down at Onitaki Sports Park, and on the Saturday, starts at 10:30, there's the All-Stars game, 12:30 the Waiheke Curtain Raiser, and then you've got Auckland City versus Ricky Herbert's Hamilton Wanderers at 2:45, there'll be food, there'll be alcohol, it'll be just a fun day, it's the Fullers Festival of Football.
Awesome, well it's good to have you down here, and you two boys, and congratulations on going up to South Korea, and congratulations to you scoring a triple hat trick plus one. Cool.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, a weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onaroa.